Hey, Northeast Pennsylvania, it's Rob O'Donnell on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on that free Odyssey app. You can download that app anywhere you get your favorite apps for your phone, Google Play Store, Apple App Store. Look for the Odyssey app. It's a big white A on an orange background. And you download it, you look for WILK News Radio, you favorite it, and that's it. You got us anywhere in the nation. How's everyone doing on this Friday, May 16th, 2025? Yep, week is coming to a close. Hopefully you're done for the weekend. Weather was a little sporty earlier today. That was some downpours that came down, some rain that came through the area. But then it's like a beautiful summer day out now. So I'll take it. I wish it was I hope it stays dry, but it doesn't look like it. Looks like some more rain is going to move through just about the time I get home, so I guess there'll be no grass cutting today. It's interesting because I'm going to be gone all next week, so I won't be able to cut the grass then either, and it'll be another two-weeker, and I just got through with that, doing two cuts, you know, cutting at the highest it'll go and then bringing it down at least halfway and cutting it again. I don't like cutting it grass twice, but you have to do what you have to do, especially if you got things to do and you're not going to be here. Just a heads up, I will not be here all next week. I am on vacation for my daughter's graduation and commissioning from the United States Naval Academy as a Marine Corps second lieutenant. Apologize for not being here with you guys, but listen, I've always preached family first, and this is a milestone that I will not miss. It's a week of pomp and circumstance. It's a great week. If you follow me on my social media, I posted a video of the Blue Angel flyover at my son's graduation in 2019. And we're going to be doing it all over again. Hopefully the weather holds out. It's been iffy for the graduation day, which is Friday. It looks like Wednesday and Thursday is calling for rain. Wednesday is the actual show of the Blue Angels. But Tuesday looks good, and that's their fly-in and practice. So as long as I get one of the 2 days with the Blue Angels, I'll be a happy camper. But then we have the superintendent's reception for family members and the graduation ball where all the military members wear their fancy mess dresses, and I'll have to get in the suit, and it's a great time where the soon-to-be graduates and commissioned officers, you know, get to party with one another for probably the last time till they split to all portions of the world. And that's exactly what happens once they graduate. They will now report to anywhere in the world that they're assigned to, you know, anywhere from Japan to Italy to California to, Virginia to wherever they're assigned. They're headed that way, Germany. So God bless them on their speed when they graduate. But if you follow me on social media, and I highly recommend you do, Rob O'Donnell on Facebook, I'll be posting what's happening, what's going on next week. You'll be able to follow along and enjoy the moment with us. And look at our new 1,000 second lieutenant, Marine Corps second lieutenant, and Navy ensigns. Do their thing. So please follow and join us on our journey next week, but I apologize for not being here. But you get it. Family first, right? That's the way it goes. Unfortunately, I've been up since like 2:45 in the morning. I woke up, laid there for a little bit, could not get back to sleep, figured I would just leave before I disturbed my wife, with playing with my phone or my iPad or whatever I was doing. Went downstairs and sat there, and that was it. I was up. And of course, by 10 o'clock this morning, I'm like, I'm tired again, but it's too late at that point. So, I can partially not be held responsible for things I may do today. Anything that offends you is probably Jake's fault. Anything that you enjoy, we'll take the credit for both of us. So I did something that I just posted for fun. And again, it's probably because I've been up way too early today. I posted a picture and I said, how come sea monkeys aren't a thing anymore? And I posted a picture of, the sea monkey kit you used to get as kids. And you guys my age and older. Jake, did you ever have sea monkeys? Did you ever get them? Do you know what I'm talking about, sea monkeys?
Yeah, I'm familiar.
All right. Never had them? Never was a thing?
No.
All right. Little past your time. Somebody said that they got them 2 years ago at Tractor Supply. And until they knocked it over, the kids loved it. But it was like the big thing when I was a kid. It was a big thing. You used to even get them, the Scholastic books at your book fair at school. You were able to get the sea monkey kit and get them into you. I'm going way back. But a lot of people chimed in. I did it just for fun, probably because I was sleep deprived. And just to stir up some conversation, some light conversation on a Friday. And you know, a lot of people are in getting involved with the conversation. So if you ever had sea monkeys, chime in on your text message here and let us know. If you don't know what they are, I highly recommend you look up what sea monkeys are. You just add water. It's easy. That's what the package says right here. World's only instant pets. The Sea Monkey Ocean Zoo. You gotta love it. Those are the things. 6 years and over. So that's where we'll go there. I was just having a conversation earlier. You know, I got to the studio here and I was having a conversation with one of the younger generation here. And we were talking about, you know, boomers. And I'm not a boomer. I miss it by a couple of years. But the older generation, let's just say, you know, my age, I'm 55 and older to their generation. And she was talking about how the younger generation gets a bad rap. And I agreed. I agreed with her that they do indeed get a bad rap because, you know, like I said, I'll be at the Naval Academy next week. There's 4,000 of our nation's brightest, smartest, you know, just a great group of young men and women that are going to serve in our military, give up anywhere from 5 to 12 years of their life in exchange for their training and their academy education. And that's not a small feat. 4 years at the academy and then anywhere from 5 to another 12, you're talking a large portion of their life and then starting their life after that. It's What we came down to when we were having this conversation is the older generation, and I'm talking people 55 up, 60, 65, 70, they're really not – I mean, they use technology. They use social media. They have their phones or such. A lot of people. I still know people who only have a flip phone. But they're not really present as far as social media goes. They use it just to see what the grandkids are doing, what their kids are doing. They're really not putting themselves out there. So – you probably have as many dumb idiots out there in the older generation than the younger generation. It's just the younger generation puts everything out there on social media for everybody to see. So, you know, I agreed that, you know, I think that the older generation just simply flies under the radar with a lot of their nonsense, with a lot of the things they do. Now, it's things, it's contained to their little bubble. You know, you might see it in the supermarket. You might see it while they're driving. You might see it in their workplace. You might see it if you live in the house with them or you're their neighbors. But as far as the world seeing it, it really kind of flies under the radar. Where the younger generation, listen, they're just putting it all out there. If it's happening in their life, if they're sad, if they want to cry, they're putting it on social media. And our generation kind of looks at that and the world kind of looks at that and says, look at these idiots. This generation's, we're doomed because of this generation. And you have to realize that's just the small portion that's getting the attention. There are a lot of bright, eager, energetic, future-driven young people out there. We're starting to see it in voter registration. We're starting to see it in the way they're looking at politics. You have that, you know, progressive AOC type, but that younger generation, that 18 to 23, and it's probably even younger, is starting to come back around, though. They're starting to think that more moderate conservative. They're starting to think that, hey, listen, all this stuff going to all these people are just really ruining it for my future. So we have to get this under control. Fiscal responsibility, you know, entitlements, the things that won't be around and who knows what their future is going to be like if we continue down this path. So it'd be interesting to see. But, you know, during that conversation, and we ended up agreeing and you know, it made a lot of sense that their generation is just putting it out there for the world to see more, where, you know, the older generation, us and above me, boomers, which I think I missed by 4 or 6 years. I forget what it is. And, you know, just kind of live in their own little bubble and still do the same nonsense things. You know, if you walk around and spend enough time with them, you're going to see things that are going to make shake your head too, but just they're not putting it out there for the world. So, you know, that was some of the conversations before today, because you know how Fridays is. We like to keep it a little light here because there's a lot of other things going on. This breaking news today with this 11 inmates that escaped from a New Orleans Parish jail. Now, they escaped sometime around midnight last night. Weren't discovered until this morning. 8:30 this morning during the bed count check. It was discovered that they were missing. And now, well, at first they said they didn't know how they escaped. Well, they do now. There's a big hole in the wall. And the inmates wrote messages on the hole, on the hole in the wall above it, where it says, "Too easy, LOL, catch us when you can, we innocent, most hated," and a bunch of expletives with a smiley face sticking its tongue out. So these 11 inmates that escaped actually busted through a hole in the wall and wrote messages where they left from. So that's how brazen this is. They've caught one, a 21-year-old. There are 10 still on the loose, 22 to 43 years old. New Orleans and the surrounding area is basically on a full lockdown looking to this. They are considered armed and dangerous. Some of these people are wanted for murder or in jail for murder, were in jail for murder. And they're considered extremely dangerous and possibly armed. The 10 that are on the loose now are anywhere from the ages of 22 to 43. And New Orleans is had a couple press conferences. It looks like they're waiting a new one now. But the most updated information I have is they found the access that they escaped from. It's a hole that they chipped into the wall. There's pictures of it circling on internet, and they wrote all sorts of messages around it before they escaped. Again, catch us when you can. Too easy, LOL. We innocent and most hated. Again, with smiley face and the tongue sticking out. Some of the other things going on, and we talked about it when it first broke yesterday, is this post from James Comey on Instagram, where he took a picture of seashells that spelled out 8647. Now, 86, you know what that means. Look, make them go away. 86. Take them out. They're all gone. You know, whichever definition you want to use for 86, listen, someone who spent a career in the FBI should know what 86 means when it comes to that. And a little passive-aggressive, oh, I saw a nice shell display on the beach today. And then he removed it saying, well, I wasn't aware that people, you know, said that is violent, you know, that represents violence. So I took it down. But I didn't mean it in a violent way. I thought it was a political message. Well, either way, you damn well knew what it meant. And listen, this should be treated just like they did Michael Flynn. It should be treated just like they did other things. Federal agents, I believe it's the Secret Service, falls under this jurisdiction, should interview James Comey. And when he said, I didn't know what that meant, 86, they should arrest him for lying to a federal agent. And then let him and his attorneys prove to a jury of his peers that he's either that stupid or lying. If he did not know after spending decades in law enforcement what 8647 means. There's also some things, some conspiracy theories coming out now that yesterday when he posted this was the 8,647th day since 9/11. And I checked that today, and it's absolutely, I have a counter on my phone where I track the days, and today is 8,648 days since 9/11. So whoever made those shells in there is questioned, and we'll never find out if Comey himself put these shelves to display those numbers or he just found it. Was someone honoring 9/11? And he made it more of a political post. Either way, his intent was straightforward and everybody knows what the intent was. So if he wants to play dumb, if he wants to say, I had no idea after spending 30, 40 years in law enforcement, he was in the ATF before he was in the FBI, I had no idea what this meant. Well, okay, we think you just lied to us. We're going to arrest you. We're going to send you to court. Obviously, you'll make bail. And you should explain to a jury of your peers that you are, in fact, that stupid. Or you knew damn well what it meant and you know, get your slap on the wrist or whatever it may be at that point. But that's the rules that they've set, and I think those are the rules that they follow. Now, that being said, do I think anything's going to happen here? No, I don't. I don't think anything's going to happen here, just like we haven't seen much on the Epstein file, just like we haven't seen much of anything as far as holding anyone accountable. You know, so I saw a picture today with who would be arrested first, Letitia James or James Comey? Quite honestly, you know, I think there's a lot of documented evidence to where Letitia James is in trouble. Does she get arrested? I don't know. I don't know, unfortunately. I wish I could tell you yes, because there seems to be a lot of red flags and smoking guns when it comes to her case as far as documented paperwork that, you know, paper trails don't lie. So we'll see where that goes. But again, I don't think much will happen to this. I think the Secret Service agents will go to interview him. He'll give some, you know, moronic story and play dumb, and that'll be the end of it. We'll see. But unfortunately, I have not seen much teeth from our Department of Justice over the past couple of months to lead me to believe anything else. So It's 3:23 here at WILK. We'll be back with the Rob O'Donnell Show in just a minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio on this Friday, May 16th. Wendy said baby boomers are born 1946 to 1964, so we're good. Yep. I missed it by, 6 years there, so we're all good there. Somebody said, hey, Rob, I thought sea monkeys were just mosquito larvae. No, they're actually a type of shrimp brine. That's what they are. Somebody said, kids finally realize sea monkeys are gross. Here's the thing. If anybody sees, and somebody said that they got them 2 years ago from Tractor Supply, but if anyone sees locally, novelty shop or a Tractor Supply or wherever you seem to get them, a thing of sea monkeys, let me know, because I'm going to get some sea monkeys and I'm going to keep them here in the studio. And this way I can drive the other shows nuts and tell people, don't touch my monkeys. Simple as that. It's Friday. We could do that type of thing. So a hero gamer thwarted a mass shooting being planned in California town. This is incredible from this young individual. Officials touting a young Tennessee gamer, a hero, after the boy thwarted a mass shooting allegedly being planned and discussed in a gamer chat site by two teenagers in Tehama County, California. The two boys, ages 14 and 15. And again, I want to highlight those ages. 14 and 15. Had planned a shooting at Evergreen Institute of Excellence in Northern California town of Cottonwood, where they expected to kill up to 100 people, the local sheriff said during a news conference this week. Before the deadly attack, the two close friends allegedly planned to kill one set of their parents. This was serious, said the sheriff. I believe it is. It would have changed the community as a whole. It's a small, tight-knit community. The two friends allegedly wrote a manifesto for the deadly attack, took photos of themselves in the same clothes, and posed as the teenage killers in the 1999 Columbine mass shooting, and spoke in the online games chat about the planned shooting. It was in that games chat that a Tennessee boy became aware of the possible attack and decided to call that local sheriff on the evening of May 9th about this disturbing chat. Now, my question here is how many were in that chat, and one individual in Tennessee took the initiative, saw something and said something and called the local sheriff in California to let them know that this was going on. The sheriff said the gamer's decision to call authorities about the possible attack could have saved lives. The young man had the courage and heroic instincts to call our agency and notify us in order to mitigate any possible threat to our citizens, possibly our young people, said the sheriff. The gamers provided investigators with the suspect's gamer tag, contents of the chat, as well as shared photo of one of the suspects posted of them posing like the Columbine school shooter. The sheriff said the shared image helped investigators contact school administrators, identify the two students, and take both of them into custody. Our investigators took the tip seriously since the beginning, as they should have. Investigators served search warrant at the homes of the two suspects. They were found improvised explosive devices they believe were made to use in the school attack. Firearms were also seized. The two friends had planned to go forward with the attack on May 9th, but didn't because one of them backed out. It's unclear what the motivation for the school shooting was, but the sheriff said one of the teen suspects talked about being bullied when interviewed by investigators. The two suspects have been booked, making criminal threats, possession of destructive devices, manufacturing a destructive device, and conspiracy to commit a felony. Investigators are all working with prosecutors looking at the possibility of a charge of conspiracy to commit mass murder. This is just incredible. First of all, intuition by this young gamer who basically saved a lot of people, possibly saved a lot of people. And law enforcement quickly moving on it. Just goes to show what happens behind the scenes, that the things we don't know about. Could you imagine being the 14 or 15-year-old's parents and finding out that your child was planning on killing you and then taking on a mass shooting at a local school at a small town in Northern California? 14 and 15. Again, I bring these stories to you and I talk about them often because, ladies and gentlemen, you need to get involved with your kid's life. You need to know every aspect of what they're doing. If they are gaming, you need to have the access to their gaming tags, their call signs, their name, their usernames, and their passwords. So you could log in and you could go back and look at chats. You can go look at messages sent. You can go look at those things. 14 and 15-year-old, that's a no-brainer. They have no expectation of privacy. They have to earn that. Later on in life, you know, when they get closer to 18, between 16 and 18, you start giving them a little freedom, but you still have to do your checks. We're seeing more and more 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds creating crimes that were unheard of 30 years ago, 20 years ago. And we are the first line of defense, parents. Thankfully, this another young person, gamer, intervened here, or else this could have went really bad for a lot of people. Just an incredible story of how things, you know, worked out for the best here, but it's still a long road for that family. Could you imagine being the parents, finding out your kid wanted to kill you? Unbelievable. It's 3:33 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. So a little closer to home, Wes Scranton man points a loaded gun during a dispute over buying a car. Yep, a Wes Scranton man pointed a loaded gun at another man during a dispute over a car sale, according to the criminal complaint. Oral Cohen, 29, of Kaiser Avenue, faces charges of making terroristic threats, assault, recklessly endangering another person, according to the criminal complaint. About 11 a.m. on May 9th, Taylor officers were called to Kaiser Avenue for a report of a man with a firearm. When officers arrived, an individual said an employee from the auto sales business there, later identified as Cohen, pointed a gun at him. Police did not know the name of the auto sales business. Cohen left the area in a Toyota Corolla with no registration or plate. Told the officers he contacted someone named Chris on Facebook regarding the purchase of a vehicle on Kaiser Avenue. He told officers he arrived at the lot at 4:30 p.m. on May 8th to test drive the vehicle. Spoke to an employee and agreed to pay $2,900 for the car. He then told the employee he was purchasing the vehicle for a friend. The employee indicated that he would need the friend's identification in order to transfer the vehicle. He attempted to transfer the vehicle to a friend's name at a local title transfer business, but couldn't because the car didn't have a tag on it. The next day, the consumer discovered there was problems with the car and went back to the lot that he had purchased it, and no one was there. After several minutes, an employee who sold him the car pulled into the property. He told the employee he was having issues with the title, but the employee refused to speak to him, then attempted to contact the car lot owner, identified in court papers as Chris, just Chris. But the number was blocked in his Facebook, as was his Facebook access. Well, there's a bunch of red flags here with this whole sale, right? The two tried to discuss getting a different vehicle. That didn't work out. That's when he told him not to come here anymore and pointed a gun at him. That's not very good for a salesman, don't you think? Officers searched the area for the employee who had left the scene, spotted him driving out of a parking lot at Kaiser Avenue. They identified the driver as Cohen, stopped him, took him into custody. They obtained a search warrant for Kaiser Avenue, found a loaded silver firearm in bottom left drawer of the desk there. Now, he wasn't charged with possession of the firearm, so the firearm, I'm assuming, was legally owned, but because of a disputed car sale, you just can't go pointing a gun at someone. But there's innocent until proven guilty, as anything else. Cohen is free on $25,000 bail. Preliminary hearing is scheduled for May 19th. But it just goes to show you, more in our area. Now, this entire story of car sale and I don't know the name of the business, and this person, I only know him by Chris. Use your due diligence when you're doing this stuff. If you're buying stuff off Facebook Marketplace, which it did say Facebook was involved here, there are normally places that your local police department has safe exchange places, safe purchase places. And if you want to know what that is, check. If you're looking to buy something, if you're going somewhere to buy it, check with that to police department locally there and say, hey, do you allow your parking lot to be used for, you know, Facebook Marketplace purchases or such like that? A lot of them do. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. just so it's happening in a police parking lot. They know this, and it's more safe for everyone involved. But you have to use your due diligence and caution, you know, especially if the deal sounds too good, it probably is, right? But another story from our area involving a firearm. It's 3:41 here at WILK. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, where there's a live press conference right now in New Orleans over the escape of 11 inmates. One have been caught, so 10 are still at large. They're saying this is an extremely fluid and dangerous situation. Right now, the jail sheriff is speaking, and one of the deputy chiefs in charge of jail operations just spoke as far as you know, what's going on and officials probing if this is an inside job. The attorney general for Louisiana also made a statement recently, public statement on social media. Someone clearly dropped a ball, and there's no excuse for this. I'm communications with Troop NOLA and the Louisiana State Police Superintendent, Colonel Hodges. It's all hands on deck. The first priority in any escape must be to immediately capture the inmates and coordinate with state and local law enforcement. But that effort cannot come at the expense of timely notification to the public, which is also critical to keep communities safe. My office will do whatever it takes to determine how this happened and make sure that it won't happen again. I'm calling for a full investigation. This is beyond unacceptable. And once these offenders are back in custody, there must be real accountability. And what she's talking about there is they were last seen somewhere around 12 midnight. And they believe they escaped around that time. They were not discovered missing until 8:30 this morning, and it took the jail officials till about noon to notify the public. And that's what's being talked about, that delay, that pause that they took to make notification that these dangerous, now possibly armed individuals were out in the community. So that's what the Attorney General for Louisiana is talking about, and there's a live press conference now that's being covered by a lot of the news agencies. In regards to down there, we'll keep our eye on it. It looks like in our area, another developer is seeking to convert an Archibald junkyard into a data center. This is the third such petition for a data center, basically in that area. The junkyard in the Einden German Road in Archibald could become a data center. They're looking to put 3 2-story data center buildings, each under 70 feet tall, with roughly 150,000 square foot footprint. 2 sites for equipment yards and ancillary buildings, 1-story, 20,000 square foot office and operations building, and roughly 211,000 square foot equipment yard for electrical substations, switch equipment, and related items, according to zoning documents submitted to the Borough of Archibald. The zoning application lists a 1.6 million square foot impervious area, which would include buildings, pavement across 3.75 million square foot lot. The proposed data center would be adjacent to the Highlands at Archibald Housing Development. And again, this would be the third proposed data center for basically that general area there. So it looks like they want to make this area quite the data mainstay. The 86.1-acre site is approximately 40% covered by an auto salvage yard and retail sales building. The salvage yard currently accepts, stores, and cannibalizes automobiles and light trucks using heavy machinery and regular deliveries of shipments and junk automobiles and parts. That's what it would replace. They said the addendum estimates that the data center development would employ 50 to 60 workers compared to fewer than 30 at the highway auto. Daily traffic would be limited to service employees, technicians, and engineers who operate and maintain the data center. Looks like, again, this is the third organization that's looking to put a main data center in that area, and all the electricity that's going to be needed to harness these data centers. That's a big part of what's going on here. And that's going to be the secondary boom for our area. So it's going to be interesting to see what goes on. I was just driving past this area, and there is a lot of open space that could be used for this type of thing. And it's going to be interesting to see how this comes to fruition. It's coming up on 3:50 here. Time for the Bloomberg Money Minute.
Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio 3:54 on this Friday, May 16th, 2025. So we've known about the issues as far as the air travel in Newark Airport in New Jersey. And we know about the I-81 sinkholes that have been causing havoc on 81. Well, now you have a New Jersey transit engineers on strike, which has totally caused havoc with commuters that need the trains today. So now you have no planes, trains, or automobiles. Or I shouldn't say no, but problems with both planes, trains, and automobiles throughout New Jersey. So listen, if you could avoid the Garden State for a little bit, I would highly recommend it. New Jersey Transit failed to reach a contract agreement with locomotive engineers, resulting in the first major transit strike to hit New Jersey since 1983. The rail system has been warning commuters for weeks to expect major service disruptions across the network if in event of a strike, and that came to fruition this morning. Could affect 70,000 daily riders going into New York City. Overall, 350,000 commuters across the state could be affected, as per the governor's statement. After 15 hours of nonstop contract talks, no agreement on wage increase is reached, and they decided that they were going on strike 30 minutes before the midnight deadline. They said the New Jersey Transit managers walked out on the talk shortly before 10 p.m., and though their actions have forced a strike despite the transit agencies having funds for a raise. So we'll see where this works. You know, really, for the most part, unless you're doing a multi-faceted commute from here into New York City, it's or Newark, New Jersey, or Jersey City, or such like that, it's really not affecting you. But could it? It could. It definitely puts more cars on the road. It definitely means 80, which has already been strained as far as these sinkholes that have been going on, even more, because you will have more cars on the road. And it's, you know, with Memorial Day weekend coming up, you know, I'm sure this is timed as far as the union goes. It's interesting how fast this hopefully gets buttoned up. But it's interesting also that, you know, we've had Newark with some power outages. Their systems have gone down. There's been major delays out of Newark, if you know anyone who flies in and out of there or have for the past week or so. And then trains now, and then with the sinkholes that we've been reporting over the past couple of months and 80. It's the perfect storm for commuting through New Jersey. I was also looking at this. It's a nationwide. It's not just here, but we had local Starbucks baristas are lining up against this new dress code. And it's not a crazy dress code. You have to wear jeans or khakis, you know, a dark colored shirt, a black shirt. They want to make sure their brand aprons are stressed more. And the union that represents some of the Starbucks baristas is saying that this should be a contracted, negotiated thing. You just can't institute a dress code on us. And well, I beg to differ. They should be able to. That being said, they were breaking down, and this is the national average. Starbucks barista makes about $18 an hour. Now, I don't know if that transcends to our area here, but that's the national average. And with their benefits, their paid health care, their tuition reimbursement, their and everything else that they get, it was estimated at $30 an hour is the cost of what they get. And it's not just the hourly wage you take home. It's your benefits package. It's your entire package. If you've ever, you know, negotiated those things for yourself, you just can't look at the hourly wage you make, even though that's probably the biggest part that we all do look at. It's only a portion of what you get. $18 an hour, $30 with benefits and all included in your hourly wage. And you're arguing because you can't wear, you have to wear a black solid colored t-shirt, jeans, or khakis. Now, I was just getting gas before I came to the station today at one of the local gas stations, and they had signs up for $15 an hour for regular staff, and I believe it was $18 for a supervisor.
And that's at a gas station convenience store. But yet we'll still fight over raising the minimum wage, where I still have yet, and I've been asking for over a year now, anyone who makes a minimum wage. But it's still a political fight because it sounds good, right? But our what used to be minimum wage jobs are now making $15, $16, $17, $18. I mean, someone who pours coffee is making $18. I'm not putting that down. I mean, you know, a lot of people depend on you. But $18 an hour, $30 with your benefit package, yeah, I think I wouldn't have a problem with them telling me that I had to wear a black T-shirt. And it makes your choices easier. Right? I don't have to think about much. I got my black T-shirts, I got my white T-shirts, or I got my khakis or jeans. Easy peasy. I'm going to go to work to pour coffee, talk to people, and make $18 an hour, $30 with all my benefits. It's 4 o'clock here on WILK. We'll be back with the second hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show in just a minute.